the bloodshed, ritual killing, the traditional, the abortions. Father, we plead with you. Have mercy on us as a nation. The corruption, Father, in the high places, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father, evil that is going on day and night, Father. We pray the homes, Father. We lift up the families before you. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We pray. We ask that you will help us, Lord. Yes, Father. As a nation, the way we are going about evangelism, the unreached people groups, people who haven't heard the gospel, Lord, help us as a church to wake up, Father. Is there anybody who can rise up and pray on behalf of all of us? Rise up and lift up your voice and pray on behalf of the nation.
Because you are all present and all knowing, we come before you like the prodigal son came. There's not a sin, individuals, families, traditional rulers, politicians, as a nation we've committed that we did not commit before your holy presence. By that, Father, we know that we deserve your anger, your judgment. Father, forgive us. We just cast ourselves at your feet. And we thank you for the name above all names, the name of Jesus. We thank you that when you send the angel to come and announce your name, you said his name is Jesus, because he will save his people from our sin. Father, we acknowledge our sins. Especially your church, your body, your brethren. As you said, all that has gone wrong in the nation is because of our lukewarmness towards you, the church, your body, your brethren. You are all knowing. So when you speak, Holy One, you speak the truth. It is true. We've been very, very materialistic. We've been seeking our personal glory instead of seeking your glory. But Father, forgive us. Please forgive us. Thank you for the message you sent, that GHANA Ghana stands for God Has a New Africa. And Father, look at how Africa has suffered. Only you who are all present has seen the suffering of Africa. And because of that, Father, forgive us. Forgive us. For Lord, if you are going to, Lord, judge us. All knowing, Father, you know the effect that will be on Africa. We know that you never lack a choice. But you always stick to your first choice. And that is Ghana. So, Father, forgive us. And we bring our hearts to you, the heart of stones, that, Lord, has been so hard towards each other. And, of course, towards you. That you take these heart of stones out of us. And, Father, give us a heart of flesh in which you have engraved your laws and written your commands. So you can fill these hearts with your Holy Spirit so that we can go your way and obey your commands, so that your plan and purpose for this nation and for the rest of Africa can be achieved. Abba Father, forgive us. Forgive us. So we have no argument except that, Lord Jesus, you are our advocate. Because you said, children of God, we do not sin. But when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the risen Lord Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah, the righteous one who is seated at your right hand. For he said, Father, forgive us. and bring a change in us individually, from the leaders of your church to your whole congregation, so that you can use us for that purpose. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We just worship at your footstool, that you are prayer answering God. And we ask that you accept our prayers and answer to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, God the Lord, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, in your mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Getting something right here. Okay. Thank you, tightening. Great, thank you. I tell myself that I drink the waters of Ghana. I eat the contumery which is produced by this nation. The resources of Ghana have been used to educate me. If I don't pray for Ghana, who should? Certainly, the white missionaries will not pray with the passion with which I pray. And anytime I travel out and I see my black skin before the multitude of the whites, I know I have to pray for Africa. Because if I don't pray for Africa, who should? Who should? We owe Ghana a duty. You may not be the president, but you can pray. You can touch the throne of God daily with your cry. And the aggregate of our cries recorded in the presence of God will bring down grace from heaven to help us as a nation. So I want to plead with all of you, by the mercies of God, that even if you decide that it is only for 1 minute that you can afford every day, just take Ghana 1 minute before the Lord and pray. Just be consistent. Cry to God on behalf of our nation. It's a grace that we have a country which has the peace that God has given us so far. In the midst of the turbulence of Africa, we have had sustained peace. When I went to Mauritania and we had to lock the windows and doors before we pray, I knew in Ghana, freedom of worship is a gift. It's a grace he has given us. You know, freedom of conscience to express your faith. We wake up many mornings and there is a dawn broadcast going on. You can do that in many countries in the world now. So it's a country which has challenges, but God is still with us. Why don't we take this time? Should we wait until there is a national catastrophe, a crisis? Then all of us are now banging at God's door and say, "Hey, are you also there? Oh, have you also been there? Today you have come." I don't think that's the proper way to treat the Lord. And our generation is a good witness to what happened in Liberia. For many years, Radio Elwa, Liberia, was the outstanding evangelistic radio station, blaring the gospel from Liberia all over West Africa. But Liberians didn't mind. But when they were being killed, they were being roasted and eaten, and they were flying. Some came to Ghana and quickly accepted the gospel. What wisdom is in that? The gospel is with you, you don't respect it. There is a calamity, you are scattered all over the countries. Now you say, where is that God they have been talking about? I don't think that's the way out. So, me, my hair is gray. And I want to plead with you that every day, even if for 1 minute, my family is committed to it. Every single day, we will pray for Ghana until I die. If I die and my children don't want to do it, then that's their business. But as long as I live as a human being, this is my country, I will cry. Amen. Okay. We have been talking about holding onto the promises of God. And I broke the theme into four. Block one, the promiser. The block two, the promisee. Block three, the promises. Block four, holding onto the promises of God. So the first Wednesday of June, we tackled the God of the promises. A promise is of no good if the person who gave the promise has no character. Therefore, we took a good look at the character, the nature of God. And one of the verses which stands out is Numbers 23:19. God is not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not bring it to pass? Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. That is there anything too hard for the Lord? Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, all things are possible. And we saw that the God of the Bible never fails his promise. He is powerful enough to bring to pass anything that he promises. Two, we saw that he is not only able, but he is willing to do it. Because he even gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross as a guarantee for the promises. Therefore, he loves us and is willing to honor the promises. Number three, we asked ourselves, is he faithful? Is God faithful? Will he always deliver? We saw yes. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. Unlike you, you can promise that you will come to an Aviosi, but when it rains, you say, oh, because of the rain. And we know many people like that who have broken their promises to us many times. You know, a young man has broken his promise, and you are weeping that, oh, he seemed to love me so much. And he says, now I don't love you anymore. And you are like, what went wrong? We don't have such a God. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There is nothing in the universe that can threaten him to say, I promise, but I won't do it again because it has rained, or because Satan has said no, or there is nothing like that. The Bible calls him in Deuteronomy 7:9, the faithful God. 1 Corinthians 13, God is faithful. 1 John 1:9, God is faithful. The 2 Thessalonians 3:3, faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, faithful is he that promised. Hebrews 11:11, Sarah judged him to be faithful. God is faithful. If you are talking about somebody who will always be there for you, it's God. Last week, we came to take a look at the promisee. Who is the promisee? The Bible promises are great. They are wonderful. But is it me? Are they talking? Is God talking to me? Is the Bible talking about me? If I can be sure, then claiming the promises becomes easy. But if I'm not sure, somebody has prepared fufu and chicken soup for his son, and he's on the dining table and you are a visitor, and saliva is rising in your mouth. Is it yours? Is it yours? So you have to swallow that saliva and live peacefully, because the thing is, you are not the person they have in mind. So the promises are tantalizing, but are they for me? Last week, we spent the whole time proving that the promises were made to Abraham and to his seed, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And that if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and therefore heir to all the promises of God. We saw in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that the promises of the New Testament are better promises than the Old Testament promises. Therefore, all the promises in the Old Testament, you can lay hold of any of them because you have better in the New. We saw 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, that all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ and amen, even as we give glory to God. And I labored to prove to you that in Christ, all the promises to Israel have become promises to we, the Gentiles, because Christ has made the two of us one and made us partakers and joint heirs of these promises to Israel. Now, today, we are looking at the promises themselves. I gave you a working definition that a promise is a public declaration that I will do this or I will not do this. And if it is in the context of a strong enough public sin, you can lay claim on the things because they are legally binding. Now, a promise, if you swear on the promise, we call it an oath. If you sacrifice between the parties, we call it a covenant. We read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4 say that his divine power. Okay, it's on the board. Let's read it. Now we have started, so let's read.
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Yes.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Listen, his divine power, his power as God, has given to us all things you need on this earth for life and godliness. Everything you can ever need on this earth, God has given it to us. How? Yes.
Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Yes. Verse 4.
By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Yes.
That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Notice that the promises are gifts. They have been given to us so that God's provision for our lives can be realized through the exceeding great and precious promises. Let me put it in another way. The promises are blank checks that heaven has given you so that you can cash from the bank of heaven the things you need for life and godliness. Is it making sense? These promises in the Bible are not there because they have nothing to do. They are checks you need in the path of life and resources that will help you in passing through this world to become a sharer in the nature of God, the divine nature, and escape the corruption which is in this world through lust. You can only do that through taking hold of these exceeding great and precious promises. If you miss the promises, you will not be able to partake of the divine nature. Neither can you escape the corruption which is in the world through lust. Now, these promises, we can break them into four neat groups. Group one will be the open, general, unconditional promises. Open, general, unconditional promises. These promises belong to the category that is for everybody, all the time. You don't need any special permission to take them. You don't need to meet any special condition. And they are made for all. A good example is the Rainbow Covenant. After God was grieved that human character was so bad, he sent a flood and killed all living things except 8 human beings, Noah and his family, and all the animals and birds that they could save, 2 by 2 and 7 pairs of clean ones. But after that, he said in Genesis chapter 9, let's take it, it's a long passage, but let's take it all the way from verse 12. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with human beings and every living creature. Please read it for us. We'll take it from verse 12 all the way to
Genesis.
Let's get to 15, 16. That's okay.
12 to
yes.
16. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations.
Notice, the promise is between God, Noah and his family, between God and goats, cows, dogs, cats, snakes, scorpions, crocodiles, every living creature that is with you. And it's for how long? Forever. Perpetual generations. Yes.
I set my rainbow in the cloud.
Yes.
And it shall be for the sign of the covenant.
I have given a sign. Yes.
And the earth.
Yes.
It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth.
Yes.
That the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud.
Yes.
And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh.
Yes.
The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh.
Correct. Now, it means whenever it's raining, and it's raining, and it's raining, and it's raining, and circle is flooded, and you know the waters are pouring down as if the world is ending, take your Bible, put it on your head, and say, Rainbow Covenant, Father. Rainbow Covenant, Father. Rainbow Covenant, Father. The rain will stop. Why? Because a God who cannot lie covenanted with us, with animals and human beings forever, that I will no longer destroy this earth with flood. No matter how much you are annoying me as human beings, homosexuals, people being naked, it doesn't matter. If all of us march out on the street with our Bible open to Genesis chapter 9 and say, oh heaven, please, Father, didn't you say it? The rain will stop. The flood will stop. Because it's a promise made to everybody. It's an unconditional promise. Is that okay? Uh-huh. Now, there are a lot of such. I told you the other time that we have over 8,000 promises. Now, these unconditional general promises are free for everybody. And they are, you know, you just have to open your Bible and start marking them. We read Romans chapter 10, verse 11, the other time. It says, whosoever puts his trust in him shall never be put to shame. Yes, you can read it.
For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.
What is the meaning of whoever? Whoever. 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 The God of the universe says that whoever puts his trust in him shall never be put to shame. Whoever puts his trust in him shall never be put to shame. Whoever puts his trust in him shall never be put to shame. Whoever puts his trust in him shall never be put to shame. Whoever puts his trust in him shall never be put to shame. Whoever puts his trust in him shall never, 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 never be put to shame. And then the Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Whoever. Whoever. So, we have a lot of these. You only have to take your Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever, whoever, whosoever, anyone. So these fall into the category of the flat, the general, unconditional promises. Two, the conditional promises. The conditional promises say, if you do this, I will do this. If you do this, I will also do this. Let's read some of the very well-known ones. Deuteronomy 28.
Deuteronomy chapter 28.
You have to be patient. Let's read through from verse 1 all the way to verse 14. Patiently. Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 through to 14. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.
If you diligently obey. Whenever you are reading your Bible and you see something like diligently obey, Hebrew doubles words. It says, in obeying you obey. You see? So Genesis chapter 22 from verse, we read it the other time, from verse 15. He said, by myself I swear that in blessing I will bless you. This one is saying, in obeying you will obey. Yes.
To obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Yes.
To observe carefully all his commandments, which
yes.
I command you today.
Yes.
That the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth.
God is promising that he will set, first it was to Israel. Now, what did we prove last week? All the promises to Israel are now to you and me. Because of Jesus. Because if you are Abraham's, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. And the promises are to Abraham and his seed. Therefore, you qualify. So God says he will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Yes?
Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you.
These days, we chase blessings. The Bible is not saying that. The Bible says the blessings will run and overtake you.
Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Yes.
Blessed shall you be in the city. And blessed shall you be in the country.
Some people want to run to America to be blessed. No. Blessed shall you be in the city. And when you go to the village, you will be blessed. Yes.
Blessed shall be the fruit of your body.
The fruit of your body.
The produce of your ground.
The produce of your
and
ground.
And the increase of your herd.
Yes.
The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks.
Correct.
Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl.
Your apotoyua will be blessed. Your fufu pestle will be blessed. The mortar will be blessed. Don't you like that?
Blessed shall you be when you come in.
Yes.
And blessed shall you be when you go out.
When you go out, people see you and bless you. When you come back, you say, oh, people came and said for you. And here is the blessing. When you go out, you'll be blessed. When you come in, you'll be blessed.
The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face.
This is sweet. Yes.
They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways.
Uh-huh.
The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
Correct.
The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways.
Yes.
Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you.
I like that.
And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, and the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them.
Now, it's called conditional because he says, if you do this, I will do this. You see? The condition. Now, let's read our famous 2 Chronicles 7. Let's read the verse 13 and 14.
2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people.
You see, any national disaster, the first port of call should be God. Whenever anything hits any country, the first person to go to is God. Yes?
If my people who are called by my name,
and that's you,
humble themselves.
Look at the conditions. They are four. Number one, humble yourself.
And pray and seek my face.
Pray, seek God's face,
and turn from their wicked ways.
Turn from your wicked ways.
Then I will hear from heaven.
Then God will do three things. I will hear from heaven.
I will forgive their sin.
I will forgive your sin.
And heal their land.
I will heal your land. You know, this is conditional. Do this, I will do this. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 18, from verse 7 to 10, the Bible says that if I, God, I tell any country that, look, the way you are behaving, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to break you down. I'm going to uproot you. If you humble yourself and repent, I'll forgive you. And the evil I plan against you will pain me. I won't do it.
Jeremiah chapter 18 from verse 7 to 10.
Yeah.
The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken...
If that nation against whom I have spoken...
Turn from its evil.
Turn from its evil.
I will relent of the disaster that I thought...
I will relent of the disaster I thought to bring upon it.
To bring upon it.
Yes. Yes. 9 and 10.
And the instant I speak concerning a nation...
Yes.
And concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I'll relent concerning the good with which I said I'd benefit it.
Now, this is another side of it. Because I bless Ghana. Ghanaians, I love you. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to make you the star of Africa. I will lift you up. And now, if the people of Ghana relax, say, oh, even last time our prophecy came that God is going to bless us. We are the first nation in Africa, gateway to Africa. And we relax and do evil before the Lord. The good he promised will pain him. And he will change his mind. These are promises that are conditional in the Bible. Now let's get to the New Testament. Let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15.
1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him.
This is the confidence that we have in him.
That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Now, listen. If we ask anything... But according to his will, he hears us. Whenever you are praying, even if you take 1 hour to find out whether it's the will of God, you won't shoot off or amiss. If we ask anything according to his will, what you are asking, it's not so much the problem as if it is according to his will. Yes.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him.
So, these are a few examples of conditional promises. They are all in the Bible. But you do this, and I do this. You ask this, and I give you this. So, group number 3. The third category of promises in the Bible are promises that have been given to specific individuals, and they are locked up with the individual in such a way that you cannot easily have access to the promise. You cannot claim it because it has been given with a particular individual in mind. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's read all the way from verse 12 to 14.
2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 12 to 14. When your days are fulfilled,
yes,
and you rest with your fathers, I'll set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I'll establish his kingdom.
Yes.
You shall build a house for my name, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Listen, I will establish the throne of his kingdom for how long? Forever. This promise was made to David. Yes.
I'll be his father.
Yes.
And he shall be my son.
Yes.
If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men.
Yes.
But my mercy shall not depart from him.
Yes.
As I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you.
Yes. Acts 16.
16 says, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever.
Now, do you know of any throne in Ghana which is forever? Any government which is forever? Uh-huh. So, this is a specific promise to the house of David. This is why Jesus is traced to David. He is the son of David. Because both Mary and Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, they come from the tribe of Judah and from the home of David, which is Bethlehem. This is the reason why it was important for Mary to go to Bethlehem for Jesus to be born, because his father, Joseph, comes from Bethlehem, the town of David. This is why no African today can claim to be the Messiah, because we cannot trace you to this promise. When you are going to Kasua, there's a big signboard that the new Messiah has come. With, you know, that big turban and, you know, yes, forget it. So the Bible has such specific promises, which whenever you are going to claim them, you must know that you are trespassing, because they were not originally intended for you. And you can take it out of context, but God will not honor it and suddenly make the Akpafu throne become forever, or the Late chieftaincy to be forever. No. Those are the specific promises. Now, the last category of promises are promises made to Jesus Christ directly in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, because we are in Christ, we also take part of the same. Let me explain it to you. These promises in the Old Testament were directly made to Jesus, not you. But because you belong to Jesus and you are in Christ, the promises, you inherit them, because Jesus is your big brother. Now, let me bring out a few. In Isaiah chapter 61, from verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, okay, wow, Hey, smart.
Isaiah 61, 1 to 3.
Aiko.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor.
Yes.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Good.
To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
This promise was made about Jesus, not you. Let's read Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 20.
Luke 4, 18 to 20 now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes. 220, yes.
Then he closed the book.
Yes.
And gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him.
Okay, Act 21.
And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Now, this scripture was a promise in Isaiah to Jesus. When he came, he was the fulfillment of this scripture. But let's read John chapter 20, verse 21.
John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.
So Jesus came and told his disciples that, just as the Father sent me, I am also sending you. So the same oil which was used to send Jesus must be given to you too, because he is sending you to do the same thing. Is it coming? Okay, let's read John 14, verse 12.
John chapter 14, verse 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
So, what is happening is that the promises in the Bible originally meant for Jesus. When he came and fulfilled them and walked in them, he commissioned us also to go in the same energy, power, grace to do the things he did, so that the church will be a continuation of Jesus walking on the earth until he comes the second time. I don't like the look on your faces. What I'm saying is that Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 verse 16 and 17 say that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, provided we suffer with him so that we can reign with him. Yes, you can read.
Romans 8, 16 and 17.
Yes.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
We are children of God.
And if children.
If children.
Then heirs.
Heirs.
Heirs of God.
Heirs of God.
And joint heirs with Christ.
Joint heirs with Christ.
If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
If we are joint heirs with Jesus, then we inherit together with him. Does it make sense? Therefore, the power, authority, the grace that is Jesus Christ is ours by default. It's just like marriage. If your husband is president of Ghana, and you are married to him, you automatically become first lady without doing anything, by reason of the marriage. It's like Britain, UK now. You know, the marriage has brought you to inherit things that automatically belong to your husband. I remember which of the prime ministers, there were some crown jewelry given, necklaces and golden things. And, you know, if it is a woman who is the prime minister, she can use them. But if there is a man who is the prime minister, then your wife uses them. Or what do you think? Yeah, by default. So, as you sit here now, you are the bride of Christ. You are joint heir with Jesus. We are his body. So, do you think that if Jesus received the original Holy Spirit, you have renewal? We give you renewal, second-hand Holy Spirit. No. So, you can understand that in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew 5:13-16, he said, you are the light of the world. Is it making sense? Let's read John 8:12.
John chapter 8.
You know, these things, if you are not convinced about them, you don't even read the Bible. Because it doesn't look relevant to you. Yeah, you are a busy CEO. You are working at Tigo. And you are busy in board meetings thinking about how to capture 21st century market and things. So why should you read your Bible? It's really relevant. Many people don't read their Bible because the things in the Bible don't mean anything to them. But if we can prove that the promises are relevant to you today, then you start memorizing them because you need them.
Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world.
Did you hear that? Who is the light of the world?
Jesus.
Please,
he who follows me shall not walk.
It's okay, we believe you. Matthew chapter 5.
Matthew 5 now.
Yes. Let's read from verse 13 to 16. Yes.
You are the salt of the earth.
Yes.
But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world.
Please, I'm confused. Who is the light of the world? This is it. Jesus is the light of the world. But by default, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Is it making sense to you? Because he is and we are in him. Therefore, the promises meant for him belong to his brothers and sisters and body on earth. Look at the name, the power in the name of Jesus, for example. Jesus doesn't need the name. Do you understand? He doesn't need... Where have you read in the Bible that Jesus said, in my name or in the name of Jesus, you demon, come out. Or use the name of Jesus to heal anybody. He doesn't need the name. Because all things were created through him and for him. Without him was not anything made that was made. By virtue of being the creator of the universe, and all things are for him, he doesn't need his name. His name, everything in existence fears the name of Jesus even before it is mentioned. But why is it that Philippians 2, 9 to 11 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bow. Every tongue should confess Jesus is Lord. Why? Because of you. He came for the name so that you can use the name. He doesn't need the name. So you will see that 6 times in the evening before he was arrested, 6 times he told his disciples, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's read them. You see, because we are talking about the promises, we have to look at them. Yes, let's read them. John, first of all, let's read John 14, verse 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14.
John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, first of all.
Yes.
And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do.
Whatever you ask, how? In my name, I will do. Yes?
That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Yes, 14.
If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it.
That's the second time. One evening, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. 15, 16.
Verses 15 and 16. If you love.
Chapter 15, verse 16. Oh, sorry. It's 15, 8 or 7. Is it 7? Is it 7 or 8? Which one is that? 7. Okay, read the 15:16. I think we are okay. We are on good ground.
You did not choose me.
Yes.
But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name.
In my name.
He may give you.
Okay, 16:23.
Chapter 16, verse 23 now.
Yes.
And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you.
My name. Then 24.
Verse 24 also says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Is it 26? Let's try 26 and see.
Verse 26 now.
Yes.
In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you.
Now, this is one evening. Chapter 13 to 17 is one evening when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Six times, he says, when you ask anything in my name. Why is he giving them his name? It's a blank check. It's a blank check he's giving them. Why? Because the name carries the authority of Jesus. You see, that name carries authority of Jesus. So look at Acts chapter 3, verse 6 and
Acts.
7. Acts 3, 6 and 7.
Chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength.
In the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I none. These days, our churches have silver and gold, but they don't have the name of Jesus. The church has left the name of Jesus, and we are now after silver and gold. Peter said, silver and gold, me, I don't have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then they ask him, how did you do this? Let's read chapter 3, verse 16.
John chapter 3.
Oh, no, Acts.
Is it? Acts chapter 3, verse 16.
Yes, listen.
And his name.
His name.
Through faith in his name.
Through faith in his name.
Has made this man strong.
Has made this man strong.
Whom you see and know.
Faith in his name has made this man strong.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy got up and walked. And they said, hey, how did you do it? He said that in his name, through faith in his name. Many of us here don't have faith in the name of Jesus. So when you dream in the night, and you see an evil spirit chasing you, coming to sit on your chest and trying to chew you, you wake up in the morning, you are trembling, you are searching for a man of God to come and help you, because where you are now is not easy. This dream, hey, you woke up in his name, faith in his name. Six times Jesus said it. I promise you, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask I'll give you. Ask. Ask in my name. And those who heard him believed it. And Peter says, silver and gold, I don't have. But I have something. I have the name of Jesus. When you check my pocket, you don't see CD. There's no dollar. No Japanese yen or Deutsche Mark. No British pound. But I have something. I have the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of that, rise up and walk. Faith in his name. You see? Let's read Acts chapter 16. Verse 18.
And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour.
Yes, there was a lady with evil spirit. Spirit of Python. Following them, crying. And the Bible says Peter became angry. He turned and said, Paul. Oh, Paul, thank you. You are listening. I like that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. And the spirit came out that hour. Faith in his name. How many people go to church 100 times, but they don't have the name of Jesus? Because they don't believe the promises of the Bible. Yeah. With the name of Jesus, no witch in that your village. What do you think? Do you think the witches in your village rule the earth? What do you think? Eh? The Bible says God gave Jesus the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, under the earth should bow. Every tongue should confess, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Not only in this age, but in the age to come. But Christians don't believe the Bible. Therefore, the name of Jesus is there. But you want to go to Ebo Jujuma Adokope and drink a dirty water. Look at our chiefs. The evil spirits I command and they go out. That's what they worship. You see, they pour libation to these evil spirits. I command them to go in the name of Jesus and they go. And you are my chief, but you are worshiping them. Our gods are sleeping. No drumming. They are sleeping. My Jesus will throw them away. Even in their sleep. You see? This is just one of the examples. I just want you to see that we don't believe the Bible. We go to church. We hear Bible being read. But the power behind the Bible doesn't mean anything to us because the promises don't take hold of our hearts. But that's just one, the name of Jesus. I could go on and on and on. But I have to wrap up this sermon now. So what? So, every single need you have in life, there is a promise of God concerning it in this good old book. Go for the Bible. Look for the promises concerning that particular thing. And begin to take hold of the promise. Eh? Memorize them. Pray with them. Hold them before God. When you are bathing, when you are in your car, when you are walking, when be talking to yourself as if you are mad. But Father, you said this. So. You see, that is what makes prayer powerful. Prayer is powerful because you are asking according to his will. Father, you said this. Therefore, this. Do we have time? Let's try 3 or 4 examples. I like world evangelism. Even though not many people are interested, I love world evangelism. But so, listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
Yes.
And he said, no.
This roof. 2 Peter.
2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9.
Great. Yes.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
Yes.
As some count slackness.
Yes.
But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So how many people in your family does God want to go to hell? You see, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What a promise. Oh, Father, Auntie Aku.
You are not willing that any should perish. Auntie Aku.
Now, you see, this is a promise. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, when you have about five of such promises that have to do with salvation of human souls, bring your friends, family members. I told you the other time, I have 16 brothers and sisters. Now I've discovered that there are even more. You know, yes, because the 16 is from my father's side. But my mother has two other children. So if I add, that's 18, you know, that I was not. So, do you know, that's my wife. Every single morning, I mention all of them before God. I'll pray for them until I die. If any of them goes to hell, their blood is not on my hands. God is my, heaven is my witness. Heaven is my witness. I have cried to heaven concerning them, their soul. Because you are not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Father, is it true? You are not willing that any should perish? You are really not willing that any should perish? Oh, then I will take hold of God until I die. The day I put my feet in my grave, then the cry will stop. That's it. Jude, verse 24.
Jude, verse 24 says,
Jude 24.
Now, to whom? To him who is able to keep you from stumbling.
Huh?
And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Huh? God is able to keep me from stumbling and present me faultless before God. Aye! With this kind God, oh, I never see your kind. Oh. This kind God, oh, blessed be your holy name. He said that God is able to keep me from stumbling and present me faultless. Who? If such a thing is in the Bible, then what is my problem? 1 Corinthians 10:13.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
Yes.
No temptation has overtaken you, yes, except such as is common to man.
Yes.
But God is faithful.
Yes.
Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able.
Yes.
But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
That's what they do in the villages. So, when there is big amanie. No temptation will ever come upon me but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will never let me be tempted beyond my strength. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape, a door. Father, is it true? Is it true? You know, when I started preaching, some pastors came and called me and said that, hey, DFK, you must be very careful. We have seen big pastors fall before. So, when you are preaching, don't preach like that. Otherwise, when you fall, it will not be easy. So, I adopted this verse and told my wife that if I die before she dies, she should write this on my tomb. No temptation, no temptation, no temptation can ever come upon me except such as is common to man. My Father God is faithful. Every temptation passes through the weighing office of God before coming to me. He knows I can carry it. He provides a door of escape. I will carry it. I will carry it. If I fall into any temptation, it's because I want to. It's not because God has allowed me to be tempted beyond my strength. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, can you imagine 8,000 promises like this in the Bible? Why shouldn't I memorize them? Eh? Ask me, why shouldn't I memorize them? I memorize them. Ooh, my time is up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Says, you have God, little children, and you have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. He says, anyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. He says, what shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only Son gave him up for us all. What else is there that he won't give with us? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, God is at work in me to will and to do according to his own pleasure. Philippians 4, 13. He says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me from within. Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1, 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. He says, you were dead in trespasses and sin, but God made you alive together with Jesus. He raised you up together with Jesus. And he made you to sit together with Jesus in the heavenly places. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3 and 4. He says, I am dead. My life is hidden with Christ inside God. When Christ, who is my life, will appear, I will appear with him in glory. Why shouldn't I memorize them? I memorize them. You see, because they are passages which, you know, if I get up in the morning and I drink the tea of the promises of God, about 50 cups, you see that I am in gazoot when I come out. You see, everybody is squeezing their face that the dollar is falling. But I'm smiling because greater is he that is in me than the dollar which is outside. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, have no anxiety about anything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You won't need sleeping tablet to sleep, because the peace of God, which comes from heaven, will come and keep your heart and your mind. You just sleep like a baby, because Isaiah 26 verse 3, that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusts in you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. So you memorize them. You memorize them. Instead of memorizing your problems and revising the people who have offended you and calculating how your husband insulted you and then trying to put down all the things your boss at work has been saying against you, go back to the Bible promises. Memorize them. Chew them. You know, float on them. Let them hold you up. And it will surprise you what the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's have, we have 5 minutes of questions. 5 or 7, yeah. Yes.
Somewhere.
Yes.
And I heard a pastor saying he was praying through Mary. And then I said, I read John 14:14. Jesus saying that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Thank you.
So why is it that you are praying through Mary? And I couldn't understand it. The second point I want to make is this. In fact, God is so faithful that you never compromise anything, but you fulfill what He has promised.
Amen.
But how, in fact, why is it that we are unable to appropriate the promises of God?
Okay. Now, your first question, my answer is 1 Timothy. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Your man at the keyboard is real smart. If I want to...
One mediator
stand between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. First John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. This life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus Christ is the only mediator, stand between God and man. So, if you create other mediators for yourself, you may honor them, but God does not respect them. So, it's better to stick to the Bible. So, I think that point is well made. The second is the promises. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 10 to 12.
In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
You know, to inherit the promises of God, you need faith. You need patience. Because God promised Abraham, I will give you a son and bless you. When Abraham was 75, he was 100 years old before Isaac was born. 25 years of waiting for the promise. Look at Joseph. He was 17 years old when he had a dream, and his brothers were bowing to him. They sold him. He went to Egypt. He rose through the ranks. He became prime minister at 30. Then the years of plenty, 7 years, 37. 2 years down the line to the famine, His brothers came and bowed. So the dream came at 17. The fulfillment came at 39, 22 years. David, he was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16 at age 17. Saul was still on the throne and stayed there until David was 30 before Saul was killed in battle. Then Judah made him king. For 7 years, he was king of Judah, but not the king of the whole Israel. And so, he was 37 and a half before the whole Israel came to anoint him. So, it took 20 years after Samuel poured oil on him for the thing to be fulfilled. You have need of faith and patience to inherit the promises of God. Many of us, immediately you have a dream and you see yourself and you are an apostle, you go around and people are calling you apostle, apostle. Before 20 years, nothing has happened. I told a young man that God called me when I was in Lagos. It's 40 years now. Some of the things he has said, I haven't seen them as yet. But I'm still holding him. Yeah, that's it. So you have need of faith and patience. It's like the young children who, Christmas time, they come and knock on your door. And you say, oh, those children. You say, okay, let me give them something. Then you went, you were searching for biscuits and things, and you brought them. When you open the door, they are gone. They couldn't wait. Many Christians are like that. You ask God for something. And he say, okay, angels, she will package the thing for you. And you are gone. You have long forgotten even that you even asked him. You have need of faith and patience to inherit the promises of God. Okay, our time is up.
Reverend JFK, last week we talked about the promises and we read Acts 2, 38, I'm sure.
Yes.
And when the people asked Peter, what should we do? Yeah. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the next verse that intrigues me.
Yeah.
The promise is for you,
and your children,
and for all
who are far off,
yes,
as many as the Lord our God shall call.
So why is it that when it comes to, because here it says baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it says the promise is for you and your children.
Yes.
So why do we say that with baptism, you know, the children must be grown before they are baptized?
Okay, that's where you are sending the thing. Okay, you know, even let me start from a human argument. In the court of law, if a 5-year-old child and a 6-year-old child, they go and take their father's gun and they are playing, and one turns it on the other and pull, and the child dies. The court does not charge the child, 5-year-old child, with crime. Because the child hasn't gotten to the age of responsibility for his actions. In the same way, the truths of the Bible are for those who can believe them with their heart, confess with their mouth. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. So a child who cannot believe something with his heart and confess with the mouth, with conviction, you don't entrust these things to him. There are so many people called Mary are causing abortion. Paul, But they are in prison now for we smoking and we growing. You know, somebody called Peter, but there he is. He's a homosexual. Why? Because he was baptized on a pillow. He didn't know anything. So he grows up and throws away the Peter and call me a cop. You see, because you initiated him into a faith which he himself didn't have a conviction. This is all we are saying. We say, let the children grow to an age of understanding so that they themselves can appreciate faith in Christ for themselves and confess it with their mouth. Then we can go ahead. So that's the whole, yeah.
Just one. We're talking about unconditional promises.
Okay.
And then you refer to Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14.
Yes.
And I realize that I've been to many weddings, and they read that from 1 to 14 as a promise for the couple. I heard it at many, many weddings. But when you continue from 15 to 68,
yes,
it's all curses.
Yes. And they don't read that.
They don't read that. But what exactly do we do as children of God? Because, you read it, 14 is, if you do this, I'll do that for you. But 15 to 68, if you don't do this, this is what will happen to you.
Now, thank you. Thank you. Now, I have heard some people teach that we are Gentiles. The Bible was not written for us. So neither the curses nor the blessings apply to us. This is why I spent the whole of last week trying to argue. It was a little boring. But, you see, we need to find our place in the Bible before the promises can come and work for us. Thank you. So, for an African, if you worship an idol, you are cursed, even though you haven't read it in the Bible. Why? Because there is a curse for idolatry. All the brave wars that surround our chiefs and cut human head when your chief dies. The funny thing is that the Bible says when you pour innocent blood on a land, only the blood of the person who has poured it can clean the land. Because the land becomes defiled when blood is poured on it. Moreover, that chief, if he is going to hell and the person you killed is going to heaven, how can he go and carry anything for the chief in the world of the dead? They are going to two different places. You see? So, what happens is that the Old Testament was written for the whole world, but God could not deliver it to the whole world. So he picked Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through them Israel, and revealed himself to them. Now the Bible has come to us so that we read it and see that it's the same God we are all worshiping. It's just that our forefathers didn't know him well first. So they were thinking he eats on the ground and they pour libation on the ground and put food on the ground. You see? But the God of the sky is not like that. Now, about the curses. Each of those curses is very powerful. The only verse that helps us is Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says that, let's read it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Let's read it.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes. Good. Yes.
That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles.
The blessing of Abraham might come upon who? The Gentiles.
In Christ Jesus. Yes. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Now listen. Please go back to the verse 13. Let's argue this slowly. Christ has redeemed us. He has bought us back out from the curse of the law. What you are reading from verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 to 69, we have 54 verses of solid curses. And these curses are in six big groups. One is the curse of poverty. The second is the curse of demotion. The third is the curse of God's disfavor. The fourth is the curse of your enemies triumphing over you. The fifth is the curse of sickness. And the last one is the curse that has to do with, lack. In fact, the Deuteronomy 28 verse 30 says that you shall betroth a woman to marry and another man will sleep with her. It's a curse. And there are so many of them that are lined up. Sicknesses which cannot be healed. Anytime your promotion is due, somebody will sit upon it. You see that in the family, nobody is rising above a certain level. Even big posts are given to you, they quickly demote you. That's how family curses work. But Christ, when he was ready to die, they didn't cut his head. They didn't stone him. He didn't grow old and die. He was hung on a tree because the law says that curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. So on the cross, all these 54 verses of curses, Jesus carried them for us. That the blessing of Abraham will come upon we, the Gentiles, non-Jews, through Jesus Christ, and will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So this is what happens. Just as we claim the blessing, the curses are also hanging on you. Do you understand? I don't know if I gave you my testimony. I used to have malaria. Malaria when I was in secondary school. Malaria when I was in the university. Malaria when I became a pastor. Malaria when I became a regional pastor. Malaria when I became the head of our church. Malaria. I was sleeping in mosquito net but having malaria. Shaking. Pa, 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 pa. So I said, oh God, do you want to kill me with malaria? Then he said, no. It's the mark which is on your forehead here. So I called my wife into the mosquito net to come and use Galatians 3:30 to break the curse of this mark. Of course, I wasn't too sure if it was God talking to me, but I heard it. 2 weeks after that, my mother came to visit us the last time before she died. So I took my chair and went to Enna. Said, Enna, what is this mark here? Said, oh, it's nothing. When you were a baby, you had malaria. And I sent you to the juju men. And they cut your head here and use your blood to mix with black powder. It's nothing. I said, God is right. Because Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 to 14 says, a man's life is in the blood. That's why he gave the blood on the altar for the forgiveness of our sins. Any covenant they use black powder to mix with your blood, you are signing a contract with Satan with your blood. That's it. So from that time, when she broke that curse, I went to Australia. I preached in 50 meetings. She packed my suitcase with malaria tablets until it was gone like this. Because my wife knows me. Whenever I travel, I get malaria. I preached in 50 meetings through Australia. I came back, no malaria. This is the God we serve. So there are things in our lives that keep coming. They keep coming. Whenever you go for any interview, everybody is sure you will get the job, but you don't. Whenever you dream, you see yourself falling into a deep hole. Whenever, you know, you see animals chasing you, you can't run. And you have that dream. You see yourself in water. You see yourself. It is because there is a basic curse upon you. And that curse must be broken. Every curse can be broken with Galatians 3:13. Just like the promises chase us and work on us, the curses too chase us and find us. Some people are not prospering in Ghana. They rush to the UK. Over there is worse. You get to Libya, the day you arrive in Libya, they say, all Ghanaians, leave. Because you have come with your curse. You see? So that's it. That's it. So the curses have their part. And the blessings have their part. The sin I struggle with most in my Christian life, 42 years now, is sexual lust. Why? Because when I was 10 years old, I slept with my own half-sister. And when I was 12 years old, myself and two of my brothers, the same day, we slept with the same girl. Then I was reading the Bible. And they said, curse is anyone who sleeps with his sister. Whether she was born abroad or born at home, your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, you are cursed. So when I came to Christ, at first I didn't know until I was reading the Bible. I said, yay! Mehu. Look, many of the sins people commit is not a problem for me. But sexual sin, I struggle. Till today, I never take chances. Ask my wife. I never take chances with any woman in my church at all. I never counsel a woman alone in any secret place. I meet you once, twice, I hand you over to my wife. Even if when I'm driving and I see a woman and she's not properly dressed and looks tempting, I remove my head at once. I'm watching the TV and I see indecent women approaching, I put it off. My money bought the television. Why should it? Look. You see? That's it. This is my wife. I've locked the key to my heart and thrown it away. So that's it. So these things, they are more true than we think. You need to read the Bible to discover them. When you find them, they say, yeah, I've done this one too before. That's why I'm having this problem. I need to work on it. And these promises help you to fight the things. Amen. Yes. This is the basis for the deliverance. Do you understand? The deliverance ministration we have it because of these curses. My wife was teaching at St. Teresa's Training College. There was a certain girl who came. She couldn't wear shoes. And my wife was the senior house mistress. So she said, why are you not wearing shoes? And you are wearing sandals to school. And she said, oh, I have a wound which never heals. So he said, what? What do you mean? She said, oh, my father too has the same wound in the same place. He said, so he said, and the grandfather, thank you. And the grandfather. Do you see? Grandfather, father, herself. Same place, same soul. So that's how a family curse works. Your father died at 50 from high blood pressure. Your grandfather died at 49 from high blood pressure. You are only 30 and you have high blood pressure. You must know that it's not ordinary high blood pressure. There is a link. So the deliverance ministration is going so that these curses over your life will be broken. And it's not any big thing. The Bible verses are there. They are the ones used. It's not juju. It's not any, you know, occultic thing. The deliverance ministration we do is because you have problem with this area of your life. You notice that it's in the family, it's your personal life, or it's in the whole clan. That's it. That's it. So, I am glad you raised it, but I mean, these are issues, the promises, the curses are negative promises. Do you understand? The God says, if you do this, I'll curse you. You do it and see. You have the curse. It follows you. Yes. So, what we call deliverance is that you have noticed these trends in your family or in your personal life or in your clan. You come to God, and if it is a personal one, we just use the Galatians 3:13 and do the ministration. Just like you accepted Christ and you changed. In the same way, these verses are used to minister to you, and then there is a change. Yes.
The last one.
See, today you have really overshot.
We need it.
Okay.
It is said that a man and his wife are one.
Yes.
So can it be said that because we are, for those promises that are personal to Jesus, because we are his bride,
yes,
therefore those promises are also for us. Could it be said so?
Yes. In the sense that, you see, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, those whom God foreknew, he predestined that we should be conformed to the image of his son Jesus, so that Jesus will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We can never resemble Jesus if we don't have access to the bank account which he used when he was on earth. Does that make sense? These are the promises. The promises which were seized by Jesus to live on this earth. They are ours by default because we are his bride. We are his wife. Are you okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So you are the church. You are his wife. He loved you, and the bride price is he died for you. That's the engagement ring, is the Holy Spirit. Last question. Yes.
You are talking about deliverance, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says,
yes,
I am a new creation.
Yes.
Old things have passed away.
Yes.
Does it then mean if there was a curse on me, it still stands when I am a new creation and the old has passed?
Great question. Great question. You see, this is why they are called promises. The fact that it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's true. It has become yours. Do you understand? The promises which are in the Bible, they are not yet yours until you take hold of them. You see? So, you have to take hold of the promise. But the same God who said, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So, the ministration, that's why we call it ministration. If you are sick, would you want people to pray for you? But the Bible says he took our infirmities and carried our diseases. Didn't the Bible say that? Jesus took our infirmities and he carried our diseases. With his stripes we are healed. Is it not in the Bible? Why do we pray for sick people? We take hold of the promise and apply it to the person as a tablet. And then that's why we call it ministration. We are now taking the tablet and giving it to you 3 days, three times a day. Take this and this and this. And then you take it and you are well. So the promises in the Bible by themselves are like tablets in a pharmacy shop. Eh? Pharmaceutical shop. The fact that they are there doesn't mean you are healed, because you went and looked at all the fever, malaria tablets. You went and looked at them and said, hey, then I'm healed. No, you have to go. This is why I say the promises, you have need of faith and patience to inherit them. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 is in the Bible, but some Christians don't even have it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. It's in the Bible, but you don't have it because you have need of faith and patience to inherit it. So these promises must be cashed to be yours. They are not automatically yours because they are written in the Bible. Otherwise, everybody will be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes. So I think I see the trend. So that next week, what we should handle will be, you know, how to appropriate the promise and hold it. I think that's the trend of the questions. Amen. Please, let's rise up and just thank the Lord for all these 8,000 promises and bless him because you have access. Yes. And tell him that you are going to memorize them. You are going to take hold of them. You are going to search for them. You are going to lay hold of them with faith and patience until the bigger the promises, they come and work for you. The name of Jesus. You are going to ask in his will. Yes. Talk to your father. He gave the promises. They are exceeding great and precious. And they are for you. Yes. They are given by a God who is faithful. And he is omnipotent. He is sovereign. And when he speaks, he is not a liar. He will make it good. And all these promises are for you. They are meant for you. To take hold of them so that they can bless your life, so that by them you can become partaker of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world to last. Our Father and our God, we thank you that all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ and amen. I glory, we thank you. We ask that even as we leave your presence, the value of these promises will be slapped onto us once again, so that we will take hold of them and make use of them, that they will not lie idle in the Bible, but they will be claimed by the promises. Take us home safely and let this week be a week when we go back to your promises, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.